kind of understand that. So welcome back. And now we're going to have what I think is usually the best panel. That's what we always hear, that and the mock review. And that's because we get real live grantees. Look at them. They look like real people. And they recovered pretty well from and we'd like to first thank them for coming. They're participants as well as panel members, so I thank them. They've done this a couple times. I think, Donna, you haven't done this for us before, have you? So Donna's new, but we find that it's important that you hear from the source how this really all comes together, not only for your research life, but for your professional life. And I think that's important as well in terms of balance and being able to really, really do the work. And we're also pleased to have this time moderating Dr. Hector Myers, who's someone who's been, over the years, I think a mentor to many. And he's a professor at UCLA in the Department of Psychology who's reviewed, I think you've reviewed every mechanism there ever was over the years in those past few years, you know, you haven't been around that long. But Dr. Myers has also been a leader in talking about mentoring and issues of health disparities. He has work also in terms of HIV/AIDS. So he's really had a long career that has really shown translational research in terms of reaching diverse communities and populations, and has always been always said yes, and I really thank you for that. In terms of serving as a grant review, he's probably reviewed some of your proposals. So he's been on review groups. He's especially been one of the people who always say yes to reviewing K awards when no one else wants to. So I really do want to thank you publicly for that, because I think it's important that your perspective is represented on review, and you fly in from UCLA at a moment's notice to make sure that the new investigators are going to be okay. So thank you for that, and I'll turn it over to you to moderate this panel.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. With that invitation, there's a reason I keep saying yes. Now, seriously, there's a hidden agenda here in terms of career paths, because those of us are gray hairs are concerned about who's going to be replacing us in the future. So we are very concerned and very interested in making sure that we can facilitate that process from early careers into this into your independent funding. It's absolutely essential. We are blessed by having four very dynamic, creative, and very successful grantees, if you will, who are now well on their ways in terms of their independent careers. And they'll be able to share their personal experience, and we'd love to encourage you to ask as many questions as possible. This is a good opportunity to find out how it's done in a very successful way. Each person will have about 20 minutes or so to speak, and allow ample time for questions or what have you. The first person is Dr. Michelle Cooley, who received her PhD in clinical psychology from the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, and she has received K awards and is now in her first R01. She's an assistant director, has been assistant director of the Hopkins Prevention Research Center, and is now an associate professor, recently tenured. Congratulations, Michelle. As an associate professor at Johns Hopkins Department of Mental Health. Michelle?
Well, thanks, Hector, and Cheryl, and Courtney, and everybody for this opportunity to basically come home. Yeah, you guys can hear me, right? Okay, see, we're all. And I consider this home because, as Richard Nakamura talked about, NIMH and the program staff are the ones who kind of push you along, and they're the ones who give you the support. The program folks are the ones who give you support to assist you in developing your independent mental health research career. And unless you develop this relationship with this huge institution, I think you're making your job harder for yourselves. They're here to really assist you because they want the best science, and the best science develops out of the best scientists. And so it behooves them to assist you. So in these couple of days, and I really think it's wonderful the way that the program is set up, it's for you to develop more of a relationship. If you have a relationship, develop more relationships. If you don't have one, develop one at least. Because there's a reason, I think, that we haven't gone completely electronic in terms of once the reviewers make the scores and then certain scores guarantee funding. It's because the program makes decisions about the priorities that Dr. Nakamura talked about. Does this application fit in with align with the priorities? And also, what about the investigator? Do we know that person? Can we have confidence that they're really going to carry out this body of work? How, if all things being equal, why should this one be funded versus this one? And I really believe that relationships and knowing the system and knowing, having an investment in the individual as well as the science is really how, what makes the difference over the years. I sat in your chairs in 1997, being a K, they called us wannabes. So you had the K awardees and the K wannabes. And it was a mixed meeting like this because some people already had their Ks and it was like, ooh, I want to be like that. And then you had the other group, a smaller group, just like it is proportioned now, who really want to get those Ks. Now you have more options with the pathways mechanism, and we'll talk a little bit about that too. But I wanted to say that, you know, just see where, think about where you want to be because you'll get there. But listen to the folks who were talking over these next 2 days. Now, and God bless you. In terms of the K frontier, I was thinking kind of a Star Wars kind of, I mean, what's the Star Trek kind of thing? You know, the new frontier, space, the new exploration. But somehow my guy ended up upside down. So let's kind of reframe that. But, you know, maybe it's the way, if you can think about this, is those of us who are researchers and who want to be externally funded researchers kind of look at the world a little differently than our colleagues. Because if you think about who you went to school with and who you trained with, there are a lot of different options that you have. And getting external grants is not one thing that you have to do. You can be an academician without external support. Or you can have support from your university, you can have support from foundations, different options. But to go for NIH funding is really going against the grain and maybe walking on a planet upside down as opposed to upside right. So congratulations for being one of the few. In terms of questions for you to think about, and I hope that you'll consider these during our panel discussion, is what are the barriers to your independent research activities? For you personally, what are the barriers? They vary by individual. And then how can they be resolved? And that's part of what these 2 days, I think, are about. And I'm going to give you one example of what I consider hopefully an ongoing career development path that uses the NIH funding system to facilitate an independent child mental health research career. I had 18 slides, and I'm very bad about putting too much in when I have a chance to talk, because as you might have noticed, I don't mind talking. So I cut it down to about 8, so it's not going to match one-to-one to what you have. In 96, let's see, my first faculty position was in 94, and I was an assistant professor at George Mason University in the Department of Psychology, but it wasn't really a good fit. And part of it is that I realized that I really wanted to do more research, more so than teach. And so I really wanted to find a good fit between my desire to be more of a researcher and then also teach and do some clinical work as opposed to an instructor who does clinical work and then a tiny bit of research. So I moved and went to the School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins. And in terms of previous grants that I had before that, I had NIMH, let's see, I had an APA Minority Fellowship Award, which is really funded through NIMH, the T mechanism. So I had one of those. And then I had a minority supplement as a postdoctoral fellow. And then I got a minority supplement as a faculty person to a huge grant that has a history in and of itself that we won't go into. But it was a fabulous mechanism that just didn't quite fly. But I wanted to become this has a pointer. Yeah, thank you, Claudio, for pointing that out. My goal was to become an academician focusing on preventive intervention research, and like I said, to teach and advise, but focus on research. And I had an intramural grant from the Hopkins Prevention Research Center, and then I told you already about this minority supplement, which I'm very thankful for that mechanism because I really learned a lot through those mechanisms. But changing, remember I went from a Department of Psychology, I'm a clinical psychologist, I went from there to this School of Public Health where I learned that I wasn't in Kansas anymore. I mean, as the change, the demands were very different, so I had to learn a new system. And I learned that these new kind of rules, that the department or the school expects 80% salary coverage. Well, when you're coming from hard money, to, you know, you got to cover 80% of your salary, I had to learn these new rules, and I learned that somebody has to pay for you, and if not if you're not paying for yourself with your own monies, then somebody's paying for you. And they didn't really talk to me about that, about in detail, you know, when you do the job talk, and they're like, oh, we'd really like you to work for it. Behind the scenes, I didn't realize that the senior faculty were going to divvy up my time, and who's going to pay for Michelle Cooley. And then it was kind of I won't say a rude awakening, but a strange awakening, because then I said, oh, I have to work on these grants. And so where's my time for working on the stuff that I want to work on? Well, that's between the hours of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. And as you guys know, that's the truth. So it wasn't bad, because I really learned a lot by being on somebody else's grants, but in terms of promotions and that kind of thing, that doesn't really count. If you're not the PI, it counts less, you see? Even with the generous mentor, you still owe them your time, and so it motivated me to become independent, and then the PI of my own research. But that was happening at the same time that I was discovering this new field, and that public health is very different than psychology, and I had to learn this new discipline, which was public mental health, and prevention science, which is really what I wanted to become, a prevention scientist. So I recognized I had two options, either to learn it piecemeal, to study it on my own, pick it up as I could, or to learn it more formally, and that's what motivated me for the Career Development Awards. I applied for, first, I'll be honest with you, on the first page of what grants I submit, I applied for a William T. Grant Faculty Scholars Award. Well, that seemed easier to me than applying for NIH money, like, oh my God, not the government. Okay, I could go to this independent entity, William T. Grant. They seemed very kind, and the little brochure that they sent out said, okay, this is easy for me. So I applied and made it all the way to the interviews. And you know, when you think you're going to get to the interviews, you think, okay, yes, this is mine. Well, no, I didn't get it. But I got, you know, they said, oh, so wonderful, please submit again next year, we're sure, you know. I was like, you know what? You hurt my feelings. And so I said, well, I'm going to take this and the feedback. I mean, I took the feedback that they gave me and used it constructively and melded it into a K-1 application. And I got it the first time, which is great, right? But I want to admit to you that it really wasn't the first time, because I had the feedback from the other mechanism. And so it's made my life really wonderful, and I'll tell you, Cheryl mentioned in terms of personal life, and I want you guys to continue to remember that as you're planning chasing the grants, you're also planning your life. Life happens around your careers, so that you need to consider yourself as a whole person and each component within your career, and which mechanisms fit best for your life. And so I am thankful for the K, because I was able to have life changes, these tremendous life changes, during the K period, and also be successful with my work. So my research, and instead of having to worry about working on six other different people's grants and then try to get my own stuff done, I could focus on my work and then have life happen around it. But when you have, I'm speaking more to the people who have the Ks now, in terms of using your K application as a roadmap, you had the benefit of your mentoring team, and I say ahem, because, you know, I don't know how many of you all wrote your whole thing and then had people sign it. they read it and signed it, you know, with a few changes here and there. That still goes on. And the NIH reviewers' comments. And just coming off of last week, Thursday and Friday, are you going to speak about Javier? We reviewed CPDD review section. So we just did reviewers' comments. And really, I'm going to speak to that a little bit about the reviewers. But please, please take to heart the reviewers' comments, because it's all meant constructively. And so the comments that you get from your summary statements help you do better science. Even though it hurts, it's better science. So use your K plan and stick to it. But always be thinking about your next grant application. Always, always. for K awardees, you know, you think about whether you want to do an RO while you're having the K, even in your first 6 months. Think about an RO3 or an R21 or an R34 or the RO1. What I submitted during my, I think I have this next, was an RO3, I think my first year, and I didn't get that. And the feedback was, look, it's just too big of a project for an RO3. And so what I did was repackage that and submitted an R21, and with the second submission, it was funded. So I had the K and the R21, which was really great. And that provided pilot work for this later, for the RO1 that I submitted. So I'm just saying, always be thinking about your next grant. Collect pilot data and start writing your application for whether it's these or if you don't have your K yet. Pilot data, anything counts. Even we had somebody submit something with 8 subjects as pilot data. I mean, 8. So think, 8 is better than 0. You know what I'm saying? It speaks to feasibility. They learned something. They admitted that they learned something new about it. So I think what's hard about being really junior is that you think everything has to be so perfect and so big. And no, that's not true. It has to match where you are. And it grows as with your growth. Submit as soon as you can. Stop delaying. Plan on taking at least a year and a half to get funded, whatever it is, at least a year and a half. It takes a long time. When, not if, you're experiencing external pressures to assume responsibilities you're not supposed to engage in because of your K. You know, you're not supposed to be doing a lot of clinical work. You're not supposed to be doing a lot of teaching. You're supposed to buy out of it. And it's not if, you know, I don't know a K awardee yet. Maybe you guys have that experience who's not been pressured to try to do activities that you're not supposed to engage in. I would say weigh the pros and cons for doing it. You know, in some cases it's worth, you know, it's worth your time and your investment to go ahead and do it. If it's not worth it, let them know how swamped you are with the KOK, I said, things that you're supposed to be doing, and offer to assist them in finding a replacement for you. Say, you know what, I actually am so swamped, but let me think of somebody who might be better for that. You know, I think that often helps. You can be more direct. If you want to succeed in academia and research, you'd better find what I call your no voice sooner rather than later. Because if you can't find one, you're not going to be able to stay. You've got to learn to say no. If you can't say no alone, appeal to others, including your program staff to help you. But you need to be able to work on what you're supposed to be working in and plan for the future. And I also say get involved in the NIH grant reviewing process. I started off with small business innovative research grants, SBIRs, which are easy to cut your teeth into. Having a K, you can start reviewing. And you should, because you learn about both sides. How do grants get 1.1 scores? How do they end up getting unscored? You really learn by being a reviewer. And so avail yourself to those opportunities. And I said, now that they have was told to me was that they're called the kangaroo grants because it's a K and an R. Get it? Kangaroo. or pathways, mechanisms, but really talk about what's the best fit for you, and I think Cheryl talked about that in terms of fit. It's got to be fit. What works for you? I already said how I did those. He already said that I was promoted. Yay. It took me 2 submissions, so I submitted the first time and then resubmitted, and then my RO1 was funded. I said by NIH. It's actually, I dipped momentarily to NIDA for this RO1 funding, but I'm coming back for the next RO1 that I'm planning, which is a follow-up of my R21. Let's see. I don't think I need to talk to you about why go ahead and do this, or maybe so. I think people wait longer than you have to submit. Go ahead. You don't know what your competition is, and that's why I say go ahead and serve on review committees, because then you get to see the varying level of where people are before they submit. A lot of times when I talk to people, I say, well, have you submitted that K yet? Well, I'm working on it. You know, I was thinking about, you know, February 1st, but I think now it's going to be June before I submit. It's just not right. And it's like, you know what, set a deadline and stick to it. Because it's every 4 months, you think, okay, I'll just catch it the next time. But before you blink, you guys know these people. They've been talking about the same thing for forever. Okay, But you be different. For you, you go ahead and just bite the bullet and submit, whether it's your K, whether it's your R21 or your R34, just go ahead. It's and you know, you try to make it perfect for you, and then you get feedback, and then it's really better than you could have imagined. Let's see, bring your ideas. How many of you have the Ks? Okay, that's good. How many are working on wanting to have? Yay, thank you. Oh, so it's almost 50-50. Gracious, okay. Money talks and allows you to walk if it's your money. And it's true. It's true. When you, and I also had a slide, I think I went past that. Always try to be marketable. Make yourself marketable as if you were on the job market. Because if you are attractive to another university, your university is going to love you. And when it comes up for time for promotions and even merit increases, salary increases, and it just makes you feel like, you know what, if things aren't going well, I can always go somewhere else. But you make your career so it's that way, so that you are marketable. I want you to understand that there are several mechanisms for new investigators to explore, and slowly but surely build a grant portfolio that supports your independent mental health and research career. This is so think about what your current career goal is, and it's constantly evolving, I think. And that's the beautiful thing about being a researcher, is that as your ideas change, as you develop new, as you have different experiences, you have the opportunity to investigate these questions that are raised based on the previous work that you've done. And so we don't have to be monotonous. We get to grow and change over time, and I think that's what's really rewarding about having an independent research career. Is this your current career goal different from your research goal? And then what's your timeline? We always think about these five-year increments, you know, because most mechanisms are like 5 years unless they're the smaller grants. But you're also thinking about much longer than that. And as I mentioned to begin with, what are the goals for your personal life, your interpersonal, social, family health, and spiritual goals? And what's important to you, and how do they fit with your career goals? Like I knew back in 97, did I have a baby yet? Let's see, that I wanted to be a mommy. I knew that. I didn't know how I was going to fit a career with being a mommy, I have two kids now, one who's a year old and one who's six, and I needed flexibility. I knew that. I needed flexibility to be able to be the kind of mommy that I wanted to be, and I'm still wanting to be. And so I wanted to think about this kind of funding stream and academic position that would facilitate that kind of life. I wanted to be a mommy and a wife. At one point, I was just a mommy and no wife, but now I'm a mommy and a wife again. I'm just saying examples, and I think somebody else is going to talk about how personal life plays a role in whether you're male or female. You need to think about career in the long term. And so just think about it's, and what I had here was kind of thinking about in hundreds and thousands of dollars what the career pathways were in terms of funding. Typical is most folks don't get any external dollars, right? The red line, that's typical. Maybe a little tiny peak around trying to get promoted to associate, and then a little tiny peak when you're getting promoted to full. And then an admiral career path in terms of external dollars is the admirable one, the yellow one. So before your K, you basically don't have any money. And then during the K, you have, $50,000 a year. And then you go for an R34 and R21, and it creeps up. But we all know folks who are like this. And it's an issue of where do you want to fall? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be one of these guys, or one of these guys? And you can be. It's up to you. You have the support. You're in the right place. You develop these relationships, and you do your work. And it's very rewarding, I think, as a person who's sitting in your place 9 years ago. So thank you. I think that's it.